Right now, we must stop down for this. Brought to you by
the Good Feet Store and All Pro Foundation Repair.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Dave.
Thank you. And per usual on a Thursday, E! News is the pre-show for the Rant Revival, and we are joined by Gordon Keith.
Mm-hmm. Hey there, guys. Gordo couldn't make it.
Oh, who do we have then?
This is your second cousin who taught you the fine art of finger blasting sports panties.
What a treat. Appreciate you teaching us that.
The fine art, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to have you.
He's a gifted one, old sports panties.
Up to the elbow was my nickname.
All right. Well,
we're coming in hot here, aren't we?
We right are, Bob. Yeah. We sure are.
Not wasting time.
All right, Dave.
All right, I begin with a bit of sad news. Sad probably only to me, but we have lost a feature, a guy that was very important to my formative years in high school and early college. His name, Gary Moundfield, also known as Manny from the Stone Roses. He was the bass player of the Stone Roses, had that fantastic bass line in Fool's Gold. And then after Stone Roses broke up, he joined Primal Scream. But he has died at the age of 63. No cause of death was disclosed.
You're right. This only affects you.
Gosh.
Well, Liam Gallagher said, in total shock and absolutely devastated on hearing the news about Manny, my hero, R.I.P. our kid.
There you go.
He's not too much older than him.
Yeah. Stone Roses, they started in 87, and then this album, their self-titled album, came out in 89. Then they were caught in label hell for 5 years, so their second album, The Second Coming, didn't come out until 94. And by that time, no one cared anymore. Mm. But, yeah, good dude. Also, back from the dead, did you remember the short-lived Friends spinoff, Joey?
Yeah, it had, what's her name from The Sopranos on it?
Drea De Matteo.
Yes.
Yeah, she played his sister, Joey Tribbiani's sister.
Yep.
Sister.
Well, so it only lasted. It only lasted 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So it came on the air in 2004, and then it was canceled in 2006, and it was canceled before the second season was even over, and it was such a failure that NBC never aired the final 8 episodes. So they've been lost to the passage of time. Until,
but they were shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now, on the Friends YouTube channel, every episode of Joey has been uploaded, the 38 that did air and the 8 that never aired.
Okay, so why wouldn't Peacock just... They own that stuff.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just say, here, look what we got?
I don't know.
Why do you get to put it on the Friends YouTube channel?
I don't know. So, if you don't remember, so this was obviously after Friends concluded... And so it follows Joey as he leaves New York and moves to Hollywood to try and take his acting career to the next level.
Back my Joey.
And
oh my.
One of the EPs on Friends, Kevin S. Bright, this was back right after the cancellation, but he was asked why this was such a colossal failure. And he says, well, on Friends, Joey was a womanizer, but we enjoyed his exploits. He was a solid friend, a guy you knew you could count on. Joey was deconstructed to be a guy who couldn't get a job, couldn't ask a girl out. He became a pathetic, mopey character. I felt he was moving in the wrong direction, but I wasn't hurt. So I guess that when he became the focus of the show, they had to take a path with him, and they made him really just kind of a buffoon.
all those characters possessed very likable qualities when they were all together.
Yeah, it was an ensemble.
Right. And then put to the test as individuals, I'm sure, just like any other show. Outside of Frasier, it would be a struggle.
That does sound like my life story. Can't get a job, can't get a date.
Dave.
Pathetic loser, you know, of a character.
You know what we found, Gordon, when we were in...
Come on, Dave.
When we were in Las Vegas, though, was the Dave Lane opposite world where... Back in the day, you know, Dave had this force field, which we tested. We were all together one night.
Oh, yeah.
In which Dave, we put him in the middle of the room at a crowded bar in off Lower Greenville.
Yes.
And within 30 seconds, a circle developed around him as like people pushed out.
Like a 5-foot radius.
And
it's not like I stank. I didn't fart. All I did was...
But you could have if you wanted
to. I could have. But all I did was just stand there and watch the TV across the bar and hold a beer. And within 5 minutes, I had a 5-foot radius around me.
It was unbelievable.
But we experienced the opposite of this.
Yeah.
In Vegas, where I'm Dave Stabler, where we went to a bar that was completely empty. And 5 minutes later, the bar was jam-packed.
And people were having fun and... Wanting to high five Dave and
well, that's great. So,
did you go by Dave Stabler out there?
No, but I need to.
Yeah, we're gonna. We only.
Why
call
didn't
him,
you?
We only call him Dave Stabler now, just to prop him up a little bit.
Yeah,
not sad Dave Lane. He's awesome, Dave Stabler.
Yeah, I just need to.
Dave Stabler's a cool name.
I just need to embrace it.
You never run into that many Stablers out
no,
in the wild.
No.
Have any of you guys watched The Chair Company?
Yes.
No. Gordon? What is that?
Okay, so this is an HBO comedy from Tim Robinson. And I guess it is just typical Tim Robinson weirdness. So the... I guess the log line, they say, Robinson is a man who, after an embarrassing incident at work, finds himself investigating a far-reaching conspiracy.
Yeah. Have you watched it?
I've not.
Okay, yes.
So they're in the middle of season one. It's an 8-episode first season, and the finale will air on November 30th. So you got a couple weeks left of this season. But it's already been picked up for a season two. And
so DJ's watched it.
Okay.
And I've watched it. And essentially it is this guy in a generic business. He's kind of, I would say, upper mid-level management. And he has a speaking engagement, and he finishes his speech and he nails it. And he's up on the stage and he walks back to his chair. And as he sits down on the chair, it collapses. And he falls backwards, and there's this big to-do that goes on, and people are wondering if he's okay. It's all he can think about. And so he wants to find the chair company, where it is, who's, you know, responsible for it. Like, and then it just spirals out of control. It's a really, really funny show.
He's just so good at playing a super generic guy.
Yes.
And a cringy, everything that can go wrong and be uncomfortable happens.
Yes, right.
So he feels like he was targeted. This was a chair attack.
No, but he just becomes obsessed with it.
He starts pulling
can't let
on
it
a,
go.
He pulls on a thread, and it just keeps leading weird places and putting him in weird spots.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, HBO is calling it the top freshman comedy in platform history. It's doing 3.3 million viewers an episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I will say
Dang,
this.
That's great.
And this doesn't give anything away because there are so many tentacles to it. But the funniest subplot from the entire incident of him falling off the chair is that people surround him to see if he's okay. And one of the people that surrounded him is a coworker who's wearing a dress that, or I guess a skirt that, you know, is about knee level. And she's kind of hovering over him. And when he comes to and kind of regains consciousness, he's looking up her skirt, but he's just he's laying there
completely
on his back.
Involuntary. It's yes. Just the circumstances.
And she catches his eyes looking up there and reports him to HR.
And it just is this whole thing. It keeps following yes. him. It's so good.
Yes.
Well, it also, in addition to averaging over 3 million viewers an episode, It does have a perfect 100 on Roddy T's
really?
Right now from
wow.
critics.
I don't know if it's that good, dang. But it's funny.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll check out the chair company. All right. Last thing before we get to some E-News adjacent material in the Rant Revival. But this is what I teased. This is an attic find that is an all-timer. So the previous record for most expensive comic ever sold at auction was Action Comics number 1, that was the first introduction of Superman, and it sold in 2024 for $6 million.
What do you think of that, Ham?
Awesome.
You have that one?
So no. So yesterday, or I guess earlier today, this new record was set. It was a heritage auction. It is a copy of Superman number 1. So after Action Comics, Superman got his own solo title. So Superman number 1. It came out in 1939. And this near pristine, it's like a 9 out of 10 Superman number 1 comic. It sold for a record $9.12 million. But
God, he's scared to read it.
I know, but part of what makes it such an expensive comic is the backstory. So, three brothers had always heard from their mother,
you all right, brother?
That she had rare comics somewhere and she didn't know where they were. And so they thought that it was just a family legend that she, you know, was making this up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's money in the drywall,
yeah,
you know,
in right. the banana stand.
Yeah. And so she died just before the pandemic. But her house had been
no, Gordon.
Untouched oh. since then. And they, earlier this year, they decided to finally go through it. And in the attic, they found a box filled with newspaper clippings. And amongst the newspaper clippings was this comic book.
Oh,
$9.12 million comic book just sitting in her attic in a box with okay. newspaper clippings.
I'm saying this is a questionable story. Now, granted, every bit of collectible that you sell, you're selling a story. Like, that's what makes artwork big, because you can attach a big name to it or some backstory, especially if the artwork had ever been stolen and recovered. And then in this case, I'm saying there's no way that comic stayed up in a hot attic somewhere and did not yellow, did not get any damage whatsoever.
Well, what if it was underneath?
I don't know about yellow, but you know what I'm saying, damage.
But what if it was underneath, they said newspaper clipping, so it was buried underneath this stuff, and so it's sitting there.
Yeah, it was insulated by all this newspaper.
And we don't know where it was. It could have been someplace that had relatively low temperatures.
Yeah, but it also, you're dealing with pests, you're dealing with any sort of insects. And
I know, but I mean,
I'm telling you that I'm just saying that they may have dressed up the backstory a little bit. Not saying that the comic is not worth that money.
I mean, it looks perfect. I'm looking at a copy of it. It looks perfect. Looks yeah. awesome.
She said she got, she got it when she was 9, living in San Francisco.
And I'm sure they added in there, it was in the very last box that we checked, and we finally found it.
We almost threw it away. Yeah, so I mean, whether it is dressed up or not, still a pretty fascinating story, and congratulations to that family
is
who are now freaking rich.
Is it worth it?
Are they happy inside?
Is it worth $9 million?
Your mom dying to find this.
Well, she died at a ripe old age from COVID.
Yeah, but is there any, like I was saying, wouldn't you just be scared to read this thing? Like, whoever was the first son to stuff it in his backpack to take it down to get evaluated.
Oh, my God.
Was he nervously putting it in the backpack?
I mean, when they saw one.
Right.
Superman 1. Are they like, what?
We're like, I didn't even know this existed.
Yes.
Try not to spill your spaghetti on it. It's just laying there.
All right, coming up next,
gently
we have
setting your cup on top of it so you don't get any spillage.
Coming up next on the Rant Revival, the stories of Smokey Robinson and Kevin Spacey.
Moose. Daryl Moose Johnston. Tuesdays at 5:35. Brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
It's Thursday. It's the Rant Revival, starring your noon to three show on White Elephant Day, mostly. That's Gen X Davey Lane. That is snake cocaine, and of course, the one and the only, Gordon Keith. Brought to you by
E.T.'s Market and Bakery.
And here they are, minus Donovan, the Ram.
Hello, Gordon.
Hello, David, and Corbels, and Bab.
Hey, by the way, if you missed the White Elephant draft earlier, well, I guess it was more of a lottery, as all of our names were placed on ping pong balls and drawn out of a hopper. And once your name was drawn, then you got to pick which shift you ended up working. And in a totally random fashion, the 1 to 3 show on White Elephant Day
noon
will
to three.
Be...
Noon
or
to 3.
Sorry, noon to 3, yes.
Dirty noon to 3.
That noon to 3 on White Elephant Day will be The Rant plus Donnie. So myself and Gordon and Corby and Donnie Dew.
I recused myself.
You did.
You had the opportunity to join us and you passed.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know there's some out there that might think I ruined this segment by my mere presence. And I wanted
to, it was your idea.
I wanted to test that from noon to 3, you know?
Well, I appreciate the fact that you let us spread our legs.
I always will.
And have that full noon to 3 without you.
Without me dominating
us.
The ball, you know?
Yeah. All right. So before we get to a little bit of breaking news on Kevin Spacey, we have breaking news on Smokey Robinson. So there is a lawsuit that we've covered on E! News before that Smokey Robinson and his wife are being sued by four former housekeepers for $50 million who all allege that while they were working for them, that Smokey Robinson sexually assaulted them multiple times, each of them.
By the way, Smokey Robinson is 85.
Yes.
So I don't know what the timeline is here.
Early aughts. So this all started around 2005 and was over the course
of
decades.
So he was still in his sexual...
Yeah.
A sexual time.
Yeah. So two new...
Well said.
Thank you.
Two new plaintiffs have been added. So it was the original four housekeepers. They have two new plaintiffs. So Jane Doe, number 5, she says that the sexual harassment she endured from Smokey Robinson most often occurred in the second floor bathroom of the home, that he would summon her to that bathroom when he was showering or getting ready to exit the shower and would ask her to come into the shower and scrub his back.
Oh, boy.
Is that typical for a housekeeper?
Housekeeper.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To loofah your back? Yeah, I don't think that's generally part of their job description. And she also alleges that he would walk around the house naked and rub himself against her as he passed her, and he also would rub his elbow against her chest, and that as a result of these repeated harassments and unwanted touching of her chest, that she became so traumatized that she underwent breast reduction surgery in 2015.
That's a shame.
Did he pay for it?
No, he didn't want him reduced, but I guess that's after she stopped working for him. And that he would often say to her, "I like you and want to touch all of you. Ask for whatever you want so you can be with me."
So he was nice.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very kind about it all.
He just wanted her to go with him to a hotel room and so I didn't let him touch all of her.
I know that he was wildly successful back in the day. I did not realize, though, that he had amassed a wealth of $150 million or somewhere around that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
He had a lot of songwriting credits.
Well, that's the thing. I think he wrote enough songs, and it wasn't just the stuff that he sang in the Miracles or solo that I think he pawned off a lot of his stuff, and he was writing stuff for a lot of people and produced a lot of records, too. But, yeah, okay. he's a monster.
Now, the other
in
new...
more ways than one, apparently.
Will, yeah.
The other new member of the lawsuit is John Doe 1.
Uh-oh. That's
what
taking
are the chances?
A twist.
Are they related?
Well, one was 5.
Yeah. So in 2013, he says that he began performing automobile detailing and related services. So he was kind of like the car guy for Smokey. And he says that that Smokey began sexually harassing him shortly after he was hired, that he would come out to where he was working and Smokey was only wearing his underwear and inappropriately touching himself, and that the sexual arousal was unmistakable, and that he would tell Smokey Robinson to put some clothes on, and his job was terminated after Smokey allegedly grabbed his hand and attempted to force it onto his erection.
Right.
And he said that he, at that point, took his hand back, turned away, left the property, and never came back.
So the wife was supposedly complicit in all this, too?
Yeah, that the wife knew about it and
she was fine.
Maintained this hostile work environment and basically let her husband get away with whatever he wanted.
Well, does he at least get some progressive points for, you know, having an open mind and not being confined to
just
and conforming to heteronormative
one right. sex
positions
yeah.
in life?
He's trying to make love to all the help.
Did that song creep y'all mm-hmm. out that he sang? I don't even know if it was in the 70s or 80s. That
Come Scrub My Back?
No.
That song?
I think it was titled John Doe Number 5. No, it was that song that was a hit on the radio, and I'd never heard of Smokey
Robinson.
Be
more specific.
Yeah, so far we're going to need more.
Being with you. I don't care what you think about me, and I don't care what you do.
What you say.
Oh, yeah, it was close.
I don't care what they think.
God, what's that keyboard leave. Sound? That's so 80s.
I'm gonna beg you to stay. I don't care if they start to avoid me. I don't care what they do. I don't care about anything else but being with you, being with you. Honey, just go.
I don't know, creep me out.
Why?
I don't know. Just weirded me out as a weird song. But I knew all
Bob
the words.
It?
I knew all the words.
Do you think he
y'all don't remember that song?
No, never heard it.
Yeah, what? I remember it.
Yeah, no. That was a huge hit.
Yeah, that was a big hit. I remember it.
Do you think he had suspicious teeth?
He has had more work done pound for pound than anybody in the music industry. Him and Cher and Dolly.
Well, thanks, Corby.
Oh, hey, Cher. How you doing?
Hey.
By the way, did you? I was very happy to see
thought
that.
Coach Joe was checking in for a second.
That Cher. Cher is the music guest on the season finale of Saturday Night Live.
Really? She's 80? Yeah.
Really? Why is that?
I know, dude.
Yeah, we're good. Tell her we're good.
Come on. People are allowed to age, Bob. I know you call yourself the ageless wonder.
No,
I
don't. And to be fair, I would have said the same thing when she was 40.
Right, in 1984?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, the Kevin Spacey news. So there was an interview with the Telegraph that he did over there in the UK, and he says that not only has his film career come crashing down amid all these sexual assault allegations, but he is now essentially homeless. He says, I'm living in hotels. I'm living in Airbnbs. I'm going where the work is. I literally have no home. It's the costs over these last 7 years that have been astronomical. I've had very little coming in and everything going out.
Okay, wait a second. Time out. Is my job just to professionally doubt every story you guys deliver? Seems like it.
Well, I have the same question that living in Airbnbs and five-star hotels is homeless.
Right. Now, he does say that he's crashing on friends' couches when they allow him to do it.
Yes. Do you think the homeless community can relate to his plight right now?
Do you think most of the homeless have the Airbnb app?
Every night, it's a different hotel.
Staying in hotels all the time.
It's a different hotel every night.
You saying Kevin's home alone?
Kind of. It sounds like it.
Okay.
Give yourself a raise.
Yeah, right now. Hit the button.
What are his expenses then?
Well, legal. He had the legal issues, obviously, and that broke him because during that time, everybody let him go. So I think that House of Cards dropped him And, you know, I don't know what Kevin Spacey was making back in the day, like, you know, 10 years ago.
He was making a lot.
I mean, he was...
House of Cards was huge, and they
like
had
a top 10 actor.
They were in the middle of the final season, and they had to write him off the show.
Yeah, so he got dumped in 2017 and really hasn't recovered. And I'm not sure exactly what he's done since then, but very little. And then he is fighting sexual assault allegation after sexual assault allegation.
But he's been cleared of everything.
Yeah. And...
Or I don't know if cleared, but at least not been held responsible.
It sounds like it was very OJ cleared.
Yeah.
In very sketchy circumstances surrounding it, his defense. But as someone who was nearly raped by Kevin Spacey,
no.
I can relate to this. And I don't feel sorry for him for saying...
A lawsuit against Kevin
seasons.
Spacey?
I don't believe it went far enough for me to file a lawsuit.
Well, you said you were nearly raped.
Is this your Me Too moment?
Tell us the story again, Corby. Relive your trauma for everyone.
Kevin Spacey
who may not be familiar with
had
it.
Just done American Beauty, which was, it won the Oscar for Best Picture. Did he win Best Actor? I know he was nominated for it.
I can't remember.
And this is on the heels of doing The Usual Suspects. He was a huge actor, and he was doing little press interviews supporting his new movie, which I can't remember the name of it right now, but we had him on, and I want to say this was maybe 3 months after the Oscars had aired for American Beauty. So he's promoting this new movie, and we have him on, and he's in Dallas in the back of a limo driving around, and I'm doing this interview with him.
He has 2 Oscars.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Damn.
He's on the phone with you.
Usual Suspects in American Beauty.
Yes, he's on the phone with me, and we get disconnected. And I can't remember exactly how it all went down, but he ends up calling the radio station and having the receptionist track me down. And
wow.
Yes.
The lengths.
I know. And so we have this conversation, and he goes, you know, I'm not very familiar with the city of Dallas. I sure would like someone to squire me about. And I was like, you mean me? Oh, Corby, it sounds... I don't know why I just did a Spanish accent. Corby, it sounds like you'd be perfect to show me this city that you're so proud of. And I was like, all right, Kevin Spacey, maybe I'll do that. I don't know. And then I think I talked to my wife, and she's like, I think he's hitting on you. And so I was that close to being raped by Kevin Spacey.
That's the most ridiculous thing
and
ever. So it was
you
a
would think
phone conversation.
You
never were in the same room with him.
And
why is everybody always hitting on me?
And DJ
Corby always thinks that
was completely insensitive, thinking that I should take that as a badge of honor, that I was nearly assaulted by Kevin Spacey.
But you don't have a badge.
It's a badge of honor. So would it be flattering? Is it flattering to you that Kevin Spacey was at least hitting on you?
I guess.
How far would you have let it go?
I mean, I think that he honestly asked how old I was. I think that was part of the conversation.
Yeah, because you definitely had, hey, this is Bruce Jenner.
Yes. Yeah.
Press Secretary of Al
Gore. This was in the 90s. So... Or early 2000s, maybe. But yeah, it was really weird. It was a very weird vibe. And Walonsky has said the same thing, that he caught a very strange vibe from Kevin Spacey that was borderline inappropriate.
How different
but you
would
know,
your
crazy
life be?
Thing is, how different would your life be if you had been assaulted by Kevin Spacey?
Well, obviously, he's beaten the rap for a lot of these things, so I don't know.
What if he would have just, like, settled down with you, and that would have kept him from any other...
Right.
What if he was your soulmate and you missed out?
Your couch right now.
Would he have stopped his inappropriate sex romps had he and I just ended up together?
Right. Would you have told him to?
And then I'm being paraded around as his little boy toy in my leather pants.
It's me or all the rest of them?
So Corby could have stopped the assault of multiple other people... If he just
but he
bit
chose
the
not to.
Yeah, I refuse.
Openly chose not to. Yeah.
Huh. In the end.
The thing, though, is, Corby, like, if you had gone out with him that night, I bet you he would have assaulted you at least. Not the full blown grape,
But he definitely
would. But that was his M.O., was just grabbing people's
crotches.
Yeah,
he definitely would have put his hands on your legs and tried to touch your penis.
Like, how long, though, within the date of us driving around and going to Uptown and hitting the bars and whatever, at what point would it happen? Early or late?
No.
Were you easy back then?
I bet you after the first stop, like, getting back in to the limo.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin.
He would slide up next to you.
If he had offered you a suite, y'all be married right now.
You're so funny, Kevin.
Yeah, he promises you endless suites.
He is pretty talented.
He's incredibly talented. He says, though, and this sounds very Trumpy.
He's incredibly talented.
He says, we're in touch with some incredibly powerful people who want to put me back to work. And that will happen in its right time. So my feeling is, if Martin Scorsese or Quentin Tarantino call tomorrow, this will all be over. But who's going to call him?
Well, I mean,
Martin Scorsese.
Some people think he is still a fantastic actor and that he's been unfairly treated.
There's no doubt he's a great actor. I wish he'd call back.
Is this your biggest regret?
Have you ever dated a 2-time Oscar winner before?
No. No. All right, we got to go. We got to go. All right, Gordon. Thank you, sir.
I love you.
We love you.
I've been hit on by Hollywood people.
Men, though?
Maybe I'll tell that story sometime.
Men?
No.
Write that down for White Elephant Day.
Yeah.
Write that down.
All the people that hit on you that are Hollywood stars.